power of a phone call can change someone's day or even their life. I know we're in an era that everyone has a mobile phone, smartphone, there's all kinds of apps, but it might be rarely used for a phone call to say, hey, how you doing? First, I want to thank New Mexico Stockman Magazine for being a show sponsor. They are a great publication for people in the agricultural business and private property advocates looking to get their message out and keep up to date on industry news. September is National Suicide Awareness Month. Death by suicide has become a major topic in the military and veteran communities. Some data experts put the death by suicide for service members and veterans at 22 a day. Some have even ventured to 33 a day. An organization called Faraday's Troops First Foundation is taking a simple approach in helping our nation's warriors stay connected. A phone call is how simple they are making it. Our guest is retired U.S. Army Sergeant Major and Medal of Honor recipient Leroy Petrie. He was part of the historic 2nd Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment, and served our country for 15 years with deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan. He currently travels the country speaking on behalf of veteran issues. Today, we're having him on to talk about Warrior's Call. All right, Leroy, it is as simple as a phone call, is what Operation Warrior's Call is doing. You know, there are all kinds of different things that are being done with counseling and the VA appointments, but how powerful is a phone call to a fellow warrior?
A phone call to one of our service members or to a veteran is almost letting them know somebody cares about them, somebody's thinking about them, that they aren't forgotten. And also, it's just a good buddy check. And, hey, how you doing? And people we haven't had contact with a while, and just getting in touch with them and seeing how they're doing.
We have all these smartphones. I mean, some people are still old school and have not adapted to the smartphone. They have the flip phones. But it seems like the human connection has gotten lost with the smartphone. How is this initiative kind of spearheading more phone calls and less apps and texts and all that?
I think it really sparked off of the director of Faraday's Foundation, and I and a few others went to a VA and DOD suicide prevention convention. And it was about a week long, and we saw different universities that had participated in it. They were giving a lot of their research reports on all the flags, the signals, what can be out there. And then there was a lot of resources. And what we found out was that we have all the resources under the sun to help people, but unless they call in or unless they walk through those doors, they're not going to be found. And we found that there wasn't anything specifically out there that was reaching out to people and finding those people that aren't calling in or walking in to the facilities to get help. And we said, what if we could identify them by just checking on a buddy, seeing how they're doing? And that's kind of where we went with Operation Warrior Call.
Yes, so that covers the first pillar. That is the great thing about it. The second pillar is answering that call. How important is it, or how can you stress to a fellow veteran listening that they should pick up that call? You know, they see the caller ID and it says doc, or, you know, it's somebody from their old unit.
Sometimes, even as busy as I get, I look at the phone, and if I have service, first thing is I always try to answer the call, even if it's a minute, and saying, hey, how's it going? Finding out what's going on and saying, can I call you back at a better time? And if it's something important, then I make the time to listen.
It sounds like that if you were on a bad connection, I know that with you being the Medal of Honor recipient, you have all kinds of duties, and sometimes you're in areas where the coverage is bad. It's like the Wayne's World drive-through prank.
Either that or I'm always on a plane and never have service up in the air.
We'll have to work on that, because I think every veteran should have like a phone-type service in the air. Pretty interesting up there.
Kind of miss the old sat phone.
Yeah, exactly. Or going back to your Ranger days, the airborne jumping out of the plane. I'm sure you served with some great, great individuals, and once you see that name, you're like, oh man, I've got to answer this.
It's extremely important, because a lot of people who have been asked to go overseas and do things what no human should ever be asked to do, and sometimes that affects people differently, and sometimes it could be at different times in our lives. It's like a roller coaster. a lot of these veterans and active duty service members that are suffering these TBIs, the depression, or the PTS, they have these moments where it's the bottom of the roller coaster and they need to reach out. And it's extremely important to answer that call in those times. But it's also, it's so important to answer the call just to keep up the camaraderie and letting them know that you're there for them. And in same situation, you would want somebody to answer your call if you needed to call out to somebody.
Leroy, talk about how you did multiple deployments. There were other guys that did multiple deployments. The struggle with coming back and, you know, fitting in that mold of the society. You guys did very heroic things over there. And coming back, it's like you need to be a civilian now. People tell you you need to be a civilian. You need to have that 9-to-5 job. How is that a struggle for some veterans that come back?
This transition part is some of the hardest, really, because you're going on your own route. That's where we kind of separate from the military. And instead of having people telling you what to do all the time and having a set of instructions and a mission, so to speak, and a time hacks, it becomes a whole new world where you got to figure out your own timelines and you got to figure out your new mission and what you want it to be in your life. And it's tough. There's so many variables out there, especially if you start adding a family into it, that transition piece is, it could be a pain, not having that definitive answer of where's my life going. So having a good plan and having a buddy to set that plan up with and having them keep you accountable that you're on the right track is probably one of the best things out there.
What is one thing that you struggled with civilian life that you were like, whoa, this is a whole new ball game?
Mine's a little different from everybody else, but I think one of my struggles is time management. And when I say that, I give a lot of my time away to so many different people, so many different things, that my time for myself has become really, really small. And I got to also think about the time piece for the family and keeping that a big slice of the pie.
Yeah, a little bit more golf and hunting.
I really wish I wasn't that busy and I had enough time to golf as much as President Obama does.
Maybe you run for office and we get you on the different golf courses with being the president. The other pillar of it is honesty. And I know if you talk to a veteran or you talk to a straight shooter, no pun intended, you look at them and you're like, dude, you're not telling the truth. How do you, as a warrior or even as a civilian, know that something's not right? How do you break through to these veterans that may be putting up some barriers?
I think gaining their trust is probably the best thing. Knowing that confidentiality, that unless there's an urgent need or emergency, that they have your confidence. They have confidence that you will you'll listen to them and you won't share what they talk about, because for a lot of people, that's when they open up about something personal, it's no longer a secret when it's shared between two people. And so that trust is the biggest thing that you got to earn, and having that come from a friend or somebody you know opens that trust a little bit easier.
What are some things that, if you hear some indicators or things that are like, okay, he or she is not normal, what can a person do to make sure that that one is still establishing the trust, but also, hey, we need to get some help to this person?
One is keeping the communication lines open. Continue to check on them, but at the same time, reach out to people that you might know that have the resources or know the resources available to get help for your friend or buddy, whatever, and to actually try and convince them that it's the best thing for them. And let them know that you're not abandoning them and kind of turning them into the psych ward kind of thing, but you're going to get them through it and you're going to be there to support them.
I was really impressed with your postings on social media and other people sharing this call to action. And I noticed that there was a civilian call to action with the Warriors call. How important is it for a civilian to help out with these Warriors and even befriend them?
Well, you think about this is year going on 16 years of combat deployments, and it's reached everybody just about. I don't think there's anyone in our country that doesn't know somebody who has served or somebody who is serving. And so to have those patriots still be a part of the team and help support and even in by just listening, that's one of the great things that every American can do.
You know, the place where we record is in New Mexico, so we have a lot of veterans that are around. And, you know, I'm drawn to them because of their humor, their you know, community involvement. And, you know, sometimes the humor can be a little dark, but, you know, I kind of dig it. And so I also dig what they do for the community.
Yeah. The neat thing about veterans is even when they leave the service, they don't leave their values and their selflessness at the doors. They bring their toolbox of everything they've learned in the military with them, and they continue to want to serve in their communities and make the places they live enrich it and make it a better place to live for them and their families.
You know, there's all kinds of stats that go around. Some say 22 a day. There have been people that put it at 33 a day, and I think that's a little bit more accurate number as 33 a day with veteran suicides. How, as a society, can we sort of empower these veterans and get that number down to zero?
I tell you, one suicide is too many, and it not only touches the person's family, it touches every person that's ever met that person. It's kind of the ripple effect. Everybody feels the shock of it. A lot of times there's no reason left why. And it leaves a lot of people with a lot more hurt. But the number is actually closer to 33. The good majority of that, believe it or not, is a lot of our Vietnam veterans. And those people had to endure so much on their deployments and then come back to an ungrateful country, which we realize now that was wrong. And they still need our support. Even our World War II and our Korea, all veterans can always use all the support they could get. One of the biggest things that I tell people is the greatest reward I got while serving was the simple thank you that I got walking through the mall or the phone call, somebody saying, hey, thanks for what you do. Because none of us did it for the money. None of us did it because we were action junkies. I certainly didn't do it because I wanted to go to war. I did it because I wanted to be where I could make the biggest difference to my country and to the guys to the left and right of me. And so just calling and saying, hey, how are you? That's a small thanks that you could do as civilians and veterans for each other.
You know, there's all kinds of stats that go around. Some say 22 a day. There have been people that put it at 33 a day, and I think that's a little bit more accurate number as 33 a day with veteran suicides. How, as a society, can we sort of empower these veterans and get that number down to zero?
Oh, wow. There were so many that I think at first, this was a phone call going out, but it was a phone call going out from me to my wife. When I got to Germany, it was the first time I got to talk to her, but it made a world of difference to me because I could call and let her know that I was doing okay. And it was just, it was still a few days before I would see her, but it was a simple talk saying, hey, I'm doing okay on my end. And that it made me happy, and I'm sure it made her feel more at ease knowing that I was doing okay. And I think that's a two-way call. I got a lot of phone calls from so many people. My commander and first sergeant came to visit me initially when I was in the first chance they got. And to me, that was a shock. And let me know that people really cared about me and how I was doing. And it made me push even harder to say, I'm going to get through this. And I'll tell you, a lot of our service members are resilient, and all they need is the confidence of those surrounding them that are in their old T-Mobile favorite five, to give them a caller every now and then and say, hey, how you doing? You got this. You can transition. You're going to do great.
Definitely. A phone call does it all. I mean, not to be all cliche of everything, but I also want to give a little background on your citation. You can Google it and find out more. People listening can Google it and find out more information. It's a great story. I want to hear one great story about Specialist Gathercole. I know he's part of your story, but I would feel bad not having him part of this episode.
Phenomenal kid. He always smiling in the hallways, always joking, having a good time, but always dedicated, giving it his best to be the best. Came from a great family. Family had some rough times coming up, and I still keep in contact with his brother, his sister. He made so many others' lives happier. I know when times were tough during training, during deployments, he was there to cheer people up, and he's missed dearly by his friends and family. And that's one reason we try to keep in touch with our Gold Star families, is to let them know that we haven't forgotten all the sacrifice that they've given, especially the ultimate sacrifice given by one of their loved ones.
Leroy, thank you for sharing that story. I know continuing his legacy is something that everybody appreciates, and I appreciate it too, with sharing this few things you did with Specialist Gathercole. I know his brother's doing a lot of amazing things in his brother's honor. I wanted to get a little bit into the Warrior's Pledge. You know, the creed that U.S. military units and mottos have is something cool, because you hear it and you're like, man, why couldn't I come up with that great of a mission statement? Here's one of the excerpts from the Warrior's Call. It says, "Is to come from a place of strength and contact my battle buddies when I am in need." That has a similar part of the Ranger Creed. "Never shall I fall on my comrades. I will always keep myself mentally alert, physically strong, and morally straight. And I will shoulder more than my share of the task, whatever it may be, 100%, and then some." Why do you think men and women, even true patriots, kind of attach themselves to these creeds and these mottos and feel invigorated by them?
I'll tell you, the Ranger Creed was written long ago, and it stands for today. I mean, if you look at all the Army's creeds, Soldier Creed, the NCO Creed, the Infantry Creed, all these different creeds that are out there for the Army, the Ranger Creed, if you read the Ranger Creed and then you read those other creeds, you'll see it's all derived from the Ranger Creed, and everything that's in the Ranger Creed has been put into all these different creeds. And one thing I learned, it was right off of basic training, my drill sergeant said, if you learn the Ranger Creed, you don't have to worry about any of these other creeds. But don't just learn the Ranger Creed, live the Ranger Creed, and hold yourself accountable to live that life of a Ranger. It's an accountability issue to say, hey, have I gone astray? Am I living the Ranger Creed? Am I on the right path to being a good person, or have I faltered?
It is a great thing, and I think a lot of people should look at different military history and even the creeds and mottos of the different units, and you'll come back from a lot of appreciation of it. So what's next for the Warrior's Call?
I'm meeting with the director here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to talk about a lot of that, where we want to see it go. The initial push was never to draw attention to the foundation. We wanted other people to put it on their websites and just get the word out there. I mean, that was the biggest thing, is the communication and the continuity of keeping veterans and civilians talking and keeping track of one another and making sure that we're not losing anybody else.
The conversations you can have on a phone call are really impactful. I mean, it's something you can't really do with a text. I mean, you can send an encouraging text and somebody can read it and it can change their day, but it seems like on a phone you're on there for at least 5-10 minutes, and that type of thing can change somebody's life. It can change the trajectory and even prevent a suicide. I just find that very, very powerful that it's so simple.
I know a lot of our younger generation, every time I go into a local VFW or an American Legion, they ask me how to get a lot of our younger generation into their facilities. And I said, I wish I knew the magic word, but here we have all our people that served before us and gave us the opportunity to serve. And there's a stereotype that the only people that go to those are alcoholics, and you get all walks of life that go into those facilities. And the great part about it is they share the same values. They share the same beliefs, and they serve their country the same as we did. And yeah, I think that's a precious resource that a lot of our younger generation, OIF, OEF type generation, needs to get involved with, because eventually if we don't support it, it's going to dry up. And 10, 20 years from now, we're going to look around and say, hey, I wish I had the place to go find all these guys that share the same values, that I don't have to worry about huge bar fights or people bringing a gun and shooting the place up, because they're good people just like I served with. And if we don't support them, they're going to dry up and we're not going to have them. But those are local VAs, local VFWs, Legions, Purple Heart Associations, all these nonprofits that are out there to support wounded service members, who serve military with the care packages. Everyone could get involved with a veteran or a military somehow. And to learn about these different resources is important. So when you take that call, you might not have the exact answers that you need right there, but if you research some of the resources that we have, then you'll have a better understanding of maybe you might have the right answer. But if not, not to worry about having the right answers. It's about making that connection and then finding the right answers.
You know, the thing that fascinates me is we're kind of in that weird generation gap where you have guys still alive from World War II all the way up to the current Afghanistan and Iraq wars. You know, that is a wide range of multi-generational kind of approach with the veterans, and each generation has their different quirks. You know, the Vietnam, Korea, and World War II guys, they like the phone calls, and as you get into the newer generation, it seems more technology driven.
I know a lot of our younger generation, every time I go into a local VFW or an American Legion, they ask me how to get a lot of our younger generation into their facilities. And I said, I wish I knew the magic word, but here we have all our people that served before us and gave us the opportunity to serve. And there's a stereotype that the only people that go to those are alcoholics, and you get all walks of life that go into those facilities. And the great part about it is they share the same values. They share the same beliefs, and they serve their country the same as we did. And yeah, I think that's a precious resource that a lot of our younger generation, OIF, OEF type generation, needs to get involved with, because eventually if we don't support it, it's going to dry up. And 10, 20 years from now, we're going to look around and say, hey, I wish I had the place to go find all these guys that share the same values, that I don't have to worry about huge bar fights or people bringing a gun and shooting the place up, because they're good people just like I served with. And if we don't support them, they're going to dry up and we're not going to have them. But those are local VAs, local VFWs, Legions, Purple Heart Associations, all these nonprofits that are out there to support wounded service members, who serve military with the care packages. Everyone could get involved with a veteran or a military somehow. And to learn about these different resources is important. So when you take that call, you might not have the exact answers that you need right there, but if you research some of the resources that we have, then you'll have a better understanding of maybe you might have the right answer. But if not, not to worry about having the right answers. It's about making that connection and then finding the right answers. I visit a lot of VAs, and I see a lot of elderly people in these VAs. And when I do get the opportunity to visit with them, it makes me smile, and it makes me think about one day I might be that person in that bed and how important it would be to, for me to get a visitor or get a phone call. And I think that's where we got to look at, is put ourselves in their shoes and how appreciative they are to get that, because one day we might be in their same boat.
Well, Leroy, it has been a great pleasure learning about how phone calls can help our warriors overcome and be empowered. You are a true ranger by leading the way. Again, thank you so much for the time today. If you want to find out more information about Warriors Call, go to troopsfirstfoundation.org. That's troopsfirstfoundation.org. Thanks for listening to the Valor Podcast. Make sure to like us on Facebook, and you can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play or any podcast management app. Visit us on our webpage at thevalorpodcast.com. Finally, find your mission. There are many veteran organizations, nonprofits, and veterans needing your help. I promise you'll make some great friends. Make a call to a veteran today and check on them. Have a great day.